This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1.
This is Bob Fetrakis bringing you The Other Side of the News from your community radio station. I'm in the studio with Tekla Lagway. Her husband, Willie Lagway, who we've written about at the Columbus Free Press, has been in prison for 32 years. There's a campaign going on to get the parole board to release Willie Lagway, an old law prisoner. And Tekla, tell the listeners what we mean by old law.
The old law prisoners are the prisoners that were convicted after 1996. In 1996, a truth in sentencing law was passed, and since then, prisoners have been given a definite sentence, and they must fulfill their definite sentence minus possibly a little bit of earned time.
Okay, so Ohio passes this law in 1996. Prior to that, your husband, Willie Lagway, was convicted in 1983, I believe.
Yes.
And he was sentenced to...
He was given a sentence of 10 to 375 years.
10 years to 375 years in the first trial.
But it's also called, 15 years to 385 in the first trial, and sometimes it's listed as 109 to 385 years. But the Ohio legislature capped consecutive sentences at 15 years, provided there was a gun spec.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a gun spec at that time that was removed in a later trial.
Okay, so he went back for a second trial, in part because the federal appeals court, didn't seem to think it was fair that he was allowed to represent himself pro se. And anyone who's read that transcript, which I have and written about it, we realize it's a travesty. He's your husband, but it's safe to say he was not in his right mind at the time of that trial, is it not?
He was not in his right mind at the time of that trial, and the court-appointed psychologist said that he was not competent to stand trial because he was mentally ill. But the judge thought he knew better.
Well, let's go back and talk a little. How does somebody get a sentence of 385 years?
Well, he did commit terrible crimes, and he knows that he committed terrible crimes. He kidnapped six young women.
But this isn't an FBI type of kidnap where he's got them holding them for ransom, right? He went on a crime spree, he robbed them, and in that course, they charged him with kidnapping, stealing their cars. To a large extent, it really seemed like he did rape two of them, but it did seem like they piled on the charges. It wasn't your traditional kidnapping.
No, that's right. It was all in a 5-day crime spree.
Now, you've got a report now from a psychologist, forensic psychologist, which says essentially that this was a result of him ingesting 6 or 7 doses of speed. Do you believe that to be true?
I believe that to be true. He had purchased them at a party, trying to establish a friendship with the young woman who was selling them, and on their way home, his friend's car was stopped by the police. He thought, I better not be caught with these on me, and he swallowed them all.
So Willie Lagway does these horrendous things 32 years ago. Why do you believe he deserves mercy now after 32 years? What's he done in those 32 years that shows us in any way that he's rehabilitated, remorseful?
He has always been extremely remorseful. He has been filled with guilt ever since.
Did he not, prior to ingesting the speed, did he not go to a hospital initially asking for help?
He did go to a hospital asking for help. He walked into the psychologist's office and said, I need to see somebody, and indicated that there was something wrong with his mind, and the receptionist turned him away.
So, may speak volumes on healthcare in the country then and now. So, what else has he done? Has he in any way learned new skills? Does he have coping skills?
He has done many helping jobs in prison. He has tutored people. He earned a paralegal certificate by correspondence, and for 7 years he worked in the library helping people to file papers for their cases. He is now working in an environmental awareness program called Roots of Success. And Roots of Success teaches people about environmental issues and tells them about the jobs that are out there for them when they get out of prison, and gives them the skills that they need in order to get those jobs, and helps improve their literacy skills.
And as I recall, he also has two associate's degrees?
He has two associate's degrees, and he earned a bachelor's degree, all of these in the Ohio prison system.
Along with the paralegal training, Roots of Success. And this is for an individual that the prison records indicate that when he came in, probably had an eighth grade education and a GED, and really had a rough life, did he not?
He had a rough life. And actually, he left high school in the 11th grade illiterate and learned to read later and received a GED. And I inquired once, I said, you love to read. Why didn't you learn to read in school? And he said, there was too much drama at home.
And by too much drama at home, what's he talking about?
Because his stepfather was physically abusing his mother.
And where was he from?
Los Angeles. East Los Angeles.
Now, how did he end up in Akron, Ohio, where the crime spree occurred?
He ended up in Akron, Ohio because he felt it would be good to get out of Los Angeles. It wasn't a good place for him. And his wife had relatives. Well, his common law wife, his partner, had relatives in Akron.
And if he's released by the parole board, I think he's up on May 26th. And there's a petition asking for the parole board to release him. There'll be a variety of conditions, no doubt, on that release. But he is teaching sustainability. He saved the state a lot of money, has he not?
He has saved. He and another person in the same prison where he is are the only two master trainers for Roots of Success. And that means that they are the only two people in the entire prison system, staff or inmates, who can train others to be instructors in the Roots of Success program. And the Roots of Success program turned out to be so successful that the director of the prison system said, oh, this is a reentry program. I think we should spread it to at least 10 more prisons. And they have now spread it to many more than 10 prisons. They have spread it to nearly every prison in the system, maybe everyone, because He and the other master trainer have gone to various prisons, which is very unusual, and trained people to be instructors in the program.
Well, I saw a quote from then warden of SCI, Sherry Duffy, saying at her prison, the program that Willie trains people in had knocked down the cost from $95,000 to $5,000 on a particular item that escapes me. I don't know whether it was
the waste.
Waste.
Yeah.
So the recycling of waste, a movement almost to zero waste, which is a very ambitious goal.
They have also saved tons of money for the system in other ways. If the director of the program has to travel from California to train another instructor, I believe she charges $10,000 per instructor. So they have trained many, many, many instructors for nothing. And in addition, all of the teaching in this program is done by inmates, and so it costs the prison system nothing for the teaching.
This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news. I'm here with Tekla Lagway. Her husband has been a prisoner for 32 years in the Ohio prison system. He is one of two roots of success, master trainers, that is bringing sustainable practices throughout the prison and jail systems of Ohio. He is up for parole after 32 years. Now, Tekla, let me be direct here. Do you think a lot of these old law prisoners are there because they're black, they're poor, and perhaps committed crimes against white middle class people?
Well, I do think so, yes.
Why do you think that?
Well, as is well known, a white person who commits a crime against black people is punished somewhat. A white person that commits a crime against a white person is punished somewhat. And a black person who commits a crime against a black person is slightly punished. But a black person that commits a crime against a white person is punished very, very, very hard with enormous sentences.
And a lot of these so-called old law prisoners, poor black, who had committed crimes, in some cases violent crimes, a lot of times their victims were white. And every time your husband comes up for parole, is there not a campaign that's led by the county prosecutor? And my understanding, it's not always an accurate campaign.
Well, I think that's right. It's not an accurate campaign.
Well, I saw in one case that they actually fabricated a quote saying that his only regret that he wouldn't sacrifice the victims, but having gone through all of the transcripts, he never said that.
He did not say that. When he was musing about the mixture of good and evil within himself, he said, if you look carefully, you will see a mixture of good and evil in me. And if I was totally evil, wouldn't I have sacrificed the victims? So he was really saying, no, I wasn't totally evil.
And saying he had no motive or motivation to sacrifice the victims, but they took that statement and turned it around exactly the opposite and have him referring to himself in the third person and using it as a quote. So hopefully the parole board will follow the law and not use fabricated evidence to keep Willie Lagway in prison. Now, what's the Willie Lagway like that you know?
The Willie Lagway that I know is a deeply spiritual and moral person?
This is WCRS 98.3, 102.1, your community radio. And we're in the middle of a discussion with Tekla Lagway concerning her husband, who's been serving 32 years in the Ohio prison system. And you were telling the listeners what Willie Lagway is like, the man that you know.
I think he's an ethical, responsible, compassionate man.
Well, how do you explain the violence 32 years ago?
I think he was out of his mind.
And the courts agree. Has he had psychiatric problems since then?
No, he has not.
So you're saying he hasn't been diagnosed to be mentally ill?
No. When he first entered prison...
In 1983,
the psychologist and psychiatric services also thought that he was mentally ill and thought that he might be paranoid schizophrenic. Mm-hmm. But it turns out that amphetamine psychosis and paranoid schizophrenia have exactly the same symptoms. They look exactly alike. And the difference is that amphetamine psychosis only lasts, generally speaking, a few months.
We're speaking with Tekla Lagway. Her husband, Willie Lagway, is up for parole, serving 32 years, already served those years, in the Ohio prison system. Has he done anything to rehabilitate himself? Has he taken any programs?
I think he has taken almost every program available to him in which he could actually learn something. He has taken a 4-year sex offender program, was supposed to be the Cadillac of sex offender programming in the prison system.
Mm-hmm.
He completed that program. He has taken anger management classes. He has taken many, many, many programs and received many awards during his time. At one time, he was on the student senate at one of the prisons, in the college.
So when he went to college for his 4-year degree, he was actually on the student senate?
He was.
Okay. And you knew him as a student and an individual. What's he like? What's his mind like?
He's very aware. He's very smart. He works very carefully at whatever he is doing. And I noticed when he was my student in a mathematics class, and I had people work together at the blackboard, I saw that he was not at all racist. He was happy to work with anybody.
Prison is a very violent environment. Has he had a lot of problems in prison, a lot of fights?
No, he has not. I think he received one ticket for violence long, long ago.
In 32 years, he's only gotten one ticket for violence?
That's right.
What about gang activity?
No gang activity, no.
I think, actually, the records will reflect a zero in that category. So he appears to be widely respected by other prisoners. He's had jobs, I mean... If he was in the private sector, they'd be a very impressive resume, right? He's been a porter. He's been a law clerk. Do you have any concerns that he'll have a hard time reintegrating back into society here in Central Ohio, because that's where he'll be released?
No, I'm not concerned that he will.
And part of the problem was that they ran his terms consecutively, one right after the other, instead of concurrently. Isn't that why he's facing so many years?
That is why he is. And I think the reason that was done was because the judge in the 1983 trial thought that Willie was pretending to be crazy to get off. And the judge thought he was smarter than Willie, and he was really offended. So he gave him the most humongous sentence he possibly could.
Which, by the way, was almost identical to the second sentence, was virtually identical to the first sentence.
The second judge, when he sentenced Willie, said, I'm going to give you the exact same sentence that Judge Reese gave you.
And there was a small variation, I believe, because there was no gun specs, that he did not have a gun. And the first time, when he represented himself, they convicted him of having a gun when he didn't have a gun.
That is right. And the federal court removed the gun specs, so at the second trial, they could not convict him of that.
How do you envision Willie Lagway's life if he's released from prison? What will he be doing as your husband? Clearly, he'll be living with you. What kind of skills would he bring to this community in Central Ohio?
Well, he brings a lot of knowledge about environmental issues, and I'm sure he will be volunteering in environmental organizations such as the Sierra Club, Community Bill of Rights.
And it's safe to say some of those organizations, some of their leadership in individual capacity have actually asked for the Ohio Parole Board to release Willie Lagway.
That's right.
So that's got to make you feel good. Well, what do you want your listeners to know about this case? Clearly, you're personally involved, and for full disclosure, I'm representing him at the parole board. And again, I've met Willie on a few occasions. I've spoke to him face to face. I found him to be very thoughtful, very intellectual, also very remorseful. What would you like to tell the listeners? Particularly since part of the reason we're here is to urge people to sign an appeal to release Willie after 32 years. He'll be 60 years old this year, and not only has he gotten his bachelor's and two associate's degree and become a law clerk, but he is this master trainer in sustainable economic practices. What would be your pitch? I would argue to some extent this fits into Black Lives Matter, is that he's taken a really bad life situation and has a chance to turn things around, and that his life does matter, and the things that he's accomplished in prison should matter as well. In fact, I've gone so far to argue that it's a success story. The parole board, which I know they've had certain problems, they hardly release anybody. But this is actually a success story for them. So they should claim victory here and release Willie Lagway.
No, I'll second that.
So, what are you thinking? How are you feeling at this point?
I'm thinking that all of the old law prisoners, all of those who have rehabilitated themselves, and that is many, many, many have, they should all be released. They have all been in at least 19 years, and that is long enough, even though they may have committed terrible crimes. I don't think lives should be thrown away because once somebody does a truly terrible thing.
And I saw the other day, the guy in Norway who they sentenced to 21 years, and I forget the exact number, whether it was 78 or 178 people he killed, right? He went to the socialist youth camp and systematically gunned down some astronomical amount of people. And in Norway, that will get him the really long sentence of 21 years. And partly what they're arguing there is that after a certain period of time, and I think Dr. Tannenbaum argued this in his report, is that the likelihood statistically of Willie Lagway reoffending is just about zero, isn't it?
I think it is just about zero.
And you were a tenured professor of mathematics.
He has the fact that he received a bachelor's degree in prison. That alone almost ensures.
Well, what's that do statistically if you receive a bachelor's degree in prison? What statistically?
And in one study, nobody reoffended that had received a bachelor's degree.
So you're looking in that study probably dozens and dozens. I don't know what the so-called N is, but here's all these prisoners, and you factor in who completes a bachelor's degree, and not one of the prisoners who completed a bachelor's degree reoffended?
That's right.
Why do you think that is?
Well,
self-enlightenment?
Well, there is enlightenment. There is the self-worth in attaining such a difficult thing. For a prisoner to receive a bachelor's degree, they have to do huge work of a kind that they generally have not been able to do previously. So
someone like Willie, who comes in, you know,
with a GED.
With a GED, and who's dropped out of school, is illiterate in 11th grade, to get a bachelor's degree from a very reputable college. And was it Wilmington?
It was Wilmington.
Has to be an enormous sense of accomplishment.
I think that's correct.
And what about age? So he's got a bachelor's degree.
He's almost 60. He'll be 60 this year. Almost nobody over 60 reoffends.
What about arguments? Well, since
maybe 2%.
Since he raped two women, he's a sex offender, and they automatically reoffend. Is there any logic there, or is that mythology?
Well, every time he's refused, the parole board cites the nature of the crime. The nature of the crime never changes, but the offender often does. And in this case, he certainly has changed.
And there's also a lot of data that suggests that, in fact, once you're caught for a second time and put in prison, you hardly ever reoffend if you let out. The people that are reoffending are the ones that aren't caught on the outside. Some of them clergy, trusted member of families. So that's where the reoffending occurs. But virtually no people who have put in crime for sex offenses in age groups end up reoffend. I saw one study, it was 7%. And that doesn't factor in a college degree or the fact that he'll be 60 years old. Okay, so one last minute. People need to do what?
Sign the petition to release Willie Lagway.
Sign the petition to release Willie
change.org.
Lagway at change.org. Also, check it out on the Free Press. Put in Columbus Free Press and Willie Lagway and read the article. Thanks a lot, Tekla, for sharing with us in the studio.
Thank you, Bob.